going to the word this morning. Our eyes of understanding is enlightened to behold the riches of liberality which you've bestowed upon us by the giving of your Spirit. We decree that we receive the wisdom of the Spirit and we function by and in this wisdom. We decree that at the end of this meeting, every believer here, every saint here is edified and only Jesus is glorified. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know where you're open to already, right? Yeah, so go there. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved, a workman who need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman who needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We've examined and examined over again that if there is a rightly dividing the word of truth, which is interpretation, there is a wrongly dividing the word of truth. So the right way to divide the word of truth or interpret the word of truth, there's a wrong way. You know, and Paul, who is the spiritual father of Timothy, is saying to Timothy that he should study to show himself as approved by God, not to study to show so that God will approve. It's not Timothy studying that will make God approve. You know, the moment a believer believes, he's approved of God, he's accepted in the beloved. So he's saying, study to show thyself approved. Study to show that you've been approved of God. A workman, a trainee, a toiler, who needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth. The Greek word, orthatoumio, it means carefully and painstakingly going through a process. You can say it that way, you know. So it's a word usually associated with miners when they want to mine out diamonds or golden treasures from dust. It's also a word associated with a surgeon who goes into the operating theater and wants to operate someone and knows that the life of that person is dependent on his knife and his use of his knife. And he wants to cut that person. So he has to be carefully careful so he doesn't cut what he's not supposed to cut. Now we see that he's telling Timothy to have that attitude when he's going through scriptures. You know, the Bible is not a book quoted in as much as we quote it. So we see that we live in a generation where people quote the word of truth and they quote it out of context. If you read my post over the week, you know, I did a post briefly on that thing you call Verse of the Day, you know, that app on your phone. Sometimes it's for your growth, for you to grow, you need to stop, you need to delete that app. Because they promise you things God did not promise. And if you read in context, you realize that, I'm going amiso. You know, so imagine if you wake up on a Monday morning and the first verse you are saying is, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And that's your confession. You are going out, I can do all things. If you can do all things, why don't you just disappear from the office? You know? So if you read in context, you realize that Paul was talking about how he could have the same disposition when he is in lack and when he has surplus, when he has abundance and when he has a little. He's now saying, I can do these things through Christ that strengthens him. He's not saying he could do everything, you know. So imagine someone that has picked that as his verse of the day, you know. But the Bible, the scriptures are to be studied. The word there, study, remember, to be what? What's the word study? To be eager, yeah? To be what? Researchfully read. To what again? To be eager, right? To be diligent. To have an art of researchful reading. So you can say, you can use the word labor. You know, reading the Bible is not, when you ask somebody, what's your hobby? My hobby is reading the Bible. No, you've not started reading. No, it's the truth. If your hobby is reading the Bible, you've not started reading. Because in reading the Bible, you realize that there's a lot of work to be done. There's a lot of labor to be done. So a man of God like Timothy, which is you and I, should be diligent in studying the word of truth. What does the Bible say about so? What is the Bible saying about this? What does the Bible not say? You know, and Paul was telling Timothy that in the midst of false teachers, this should be your disposition to the word of truth. Now, you see in the next chapter, chapter 3, from verse 16, it says, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, right, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. And that from a child you've known the holy scriptures, right, which are able to make the wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So the essence of the scriptures is what? To make you wise. The essence of the scriptures is to give you wisdom. But that wisdom that must be given to you is in reference and relation to what? Salvation. So the scriptures are to make... So when you read the Bible, do you receive wisdom? Wisdom to make you wise in what direction? So do you read scriptures to make you wise in your business endeavor? Do you read scriptures? You know, don't you think it is You know, like I would usually say, Pagan would say that if the church does what they are supposed to do, there will not be need for Bible schools. If you want to learn how to make money, why don't you go to Lagos Business School? Why don't you go to a business school and study accounting or entrepreneurship? So we are in a generation, right, where the church and its activities are robbing the church of what they should be doing, which is Bible study. So you see, it is now a mindset of we come to church to sing and praise God. Then you now see an announcement time. Wednesday is for Bible study. But the question is, what were you doing on Sunday? It takes labor to know what the scriptures are about. We live in a generation right now where people come to church to learn how to make money and go to their workplace on Monday to learn how to pray. So they go to their workplace at 8 o'clock. They're supposed to resume at 8. They get to work at 8. They're going to a private toilet to be praying. And when they're telling them, your work, you need to do this, they say, no, don't disturb me. I'm communing with my God. Meanwhile, that should be where you make money. So because of that mindset, people now come to church to receive what God did not promise. And when what they claim to have received, you know that thing where people, when a pastor stands and say, take it, all of you, I receive. The more that jump you catch, you see, I receive. You know, but. So church has now become, I receive center. You know, so scriptures are to make you wise unto salvation. It's not when you enter into September, you know, this is a September that God, you remember. Okay, calm down. It's September to remember. So what happens to other months? And they pray to forget. You know, and I see the spirit of Daniel hovering around. The spirit of Daniel Tete is still hovering around. Spirit of Daniel. I see the spirit of Joseph. Joseph. You see, when you accept some of these people's characteristics, make sure you know the story behind it. So if someone prays and says, see a lady here who is a Ruth. What's the name of this popular lady every woman wants to be like in the Bible? Is it Deborah? Esther. The one that took the king's... Is it Esther? A Night with the King. Yes. You know, A Night with the King. You are forgotten that story is about the fact that a king was married. Or they say the spirit of Abraham is on you. Are you not okay with the spirit of Christ? Like, how does it choke your body? Spirit of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is on you. Only you. The blessing of Abraham is your portion. Abraham, blessing. His son suffered. Abraham lied. Abraham killed. Why are we looking at people who are not Bible scholars? You know, people don't want to hear that part. It's just the Abraham had 318 trained men. So he was rich to train over 300 people to go and fight four nations. And it was from the spoils he took that he paid a tithe to Melchizedek. But we read chapter 14 before chapter 12, in as much as we are seeing 12 before 14. Is it Jacob? So Jacob. Jacob is the grandson of Abraham. How many years did he suffer for? Yeah, the blessing did not touch Jacob. Is you, the greatest grandchild. Is you, you know. So scriptures are to make you wise unto salvation. Unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 16 says, all scriptures are given by inspiration of God. They are profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The word they're profitable is what? Advantageous. And what their doctrine is teaching. So one of the advantages of scriptures is to teach. The word they reproof is what? Assurance or evidence. One of the advantages of scriptures is to give assurance or evidence. The word their correction is to straighten up, to realign, to rectify. So the advantage of scriptures is to correct for instruction in righteousness. Paul did not say for quoting. You see, that's why as believers, we have a labor attitude. As believers, we don't have favorite verses. We don't have favorite verses. Because a lot of things that are your favorite verses are things talking about eternal life. You know, I'll bring you to an expected end. What was that verse? Jeremiah 29, right? For the plan I have for you, I'll put a lot of people to bring to an expected end, you know. Or remember Psalm 91, with long life shall I satisfy you. We've done Psalm 91, have we? Yeah, with long life shall I satisfy you. And you're thinking it's your birthday on earth. It can be, because long life has to be in Christ, you know. So we have gone through all of this month, and we've also established that, remember this month, our theme was believer's conduct. We've also established from Galatians chapter 1 that any gospel that puts fear in you is another gospel. So any gospel that you hear and you are scared after you hear is another gospel. The gospel of Christ should bring assurance to your heart when you hear it. Any gospel that puts depression on you is another gospel. The gospel is the fact that God came as a man, he died as a man, lived in the midst of men, he was killed by men, and God's activity was what? To raise him up. So our gospel and our doctrine is revolved around that singular fact. So a man is saved by what? Believing in the fact that Christ came, he died and was buried, and he wants to live in your heart. Once you believe that, you are saved forever. Being saved as a believer by faith is easier than growing in the knowledge of what you've been saved into. Like, what did I mean? It's easier to get saved than to grow in knowledge. Why? Because growing in knowledge requires researchful reading, study. So we are not people that are tossed around by winds of false doctrines. We're not people that are tossed around by anything anywhere good. You know, we're not teaching this message because it is a rainy message now. We're teaching it because it is the message. The message. Are we together? You know, so we are to see from scriptures that they have an advantage for teaching. We see Jesus, he told his disciples, go ye into the world and make disciples. Make people students of the world. You know what that means? It just simply means that a student is a student. How many of us, when we went to biology class, a big chemistry? Oh, chemistry can be defined as the... Or chemistry divided into two sciences, pure and applied science. And somebody from the back, deep. Took me word, ma. Is that not what we're doing in the church today? They are saying truth. You know, I was talking about an experience. A lady was standing beside me. The man said something. What he even said was wrong. The woman just jumped up. Yes, sir! You are talking to me! Error, talking to you. You know, she jumped up. Whoo, whoo, whoo. After she finished doing this, she started doing her drama, standing. I gave her like a few seconds. She sat down. Sorry, ma. Let me concentrate. Let me concentrate. I want to concentrate. Something you don't remember. So we're not dramatists, we're not drama actors, we're not actors or actresses in church. We are students in church. So anything that is said that you hear for the first time, you write it down. See, I used to be dramatic. If you know me, you know me. I sat on the floor before. When I look back and realize what happened on the floor, it was nonsense. I sat on the floor. And I'll do like that, I'll take on my life. Nothing. I told you now, I say God caught me on my way to Damascus. Because the error I'd have been teaching. I look at my notes one day. I told you now, I downloaded an app. Name of the app, special app. I opened a folder. Rema from the throne of grace. I you see documentation. I call it documents. You see the things I wrote under those things. When I looked at it, this was 2013. When I looked at that, I'm like, Amy. I wrote things, though. Forget. That's why, you see, if I teach you motivation speaking, if I switch, all I need is a keyboardist. Put it on organ. Just put it on organ for me. And God said, we know he's in the bloody. Not just body, bloody. You know, but thank God for the truth of God's word we received. What have we not said? To acquire, you need to require to the fire so that your attire can be under desire, the desire of your attire. Can be. What have we not said that made sense? And the funny thing was now that at those times when we're saying those things, people were blessed. I was looking at this teaching on slippers. Let's not go there. I can form story. I was doing a teaching on slippers one day. What I saw, I was looking at my notes yesterday or a few days ago. I was like, slippers. See, what can we not form message from? You know? So any message that puts fear in you, when you finish listening to that message, you go back home and you are scared. The easiest place to put fear in people is revelation. Just teach revelation and Magadon. No. Your believer, your members will live right for 1 week. Yes now. When they tell you the trumpet shall sound, trumpet is your name in the book of life, you are singing, you are crying. Just teach revelations on the last day. When God comes to rapture his people, are you ready? You say, if you know you are not ready. So, when they are asking you, are you ready? Is to confirm that you are not ready. Check your heart. And they'll tell you a story. And you, your heart now, you that you've given your life to Christ 3 times, you collected the life back. If you want to give your life to Christ, run down. If they don't say walk or come, it's run. At the count of 10, 9, people are running. Before it is late, they are running. That's why you see some of those movies, when you see a husband and wife, they are eating on the dining table, their pastor and wife, one trumpet from nowhere will just sound, the woman will just go. Only the man will be there. You say, temi bami, and the woman, kini moshe. or somebody says that an angel, before an angel, you know, an angel, God has asked angel to blow the trumpet, but Jesus is kneeling down begging. You know, we've heard the most, but the truth remains that this puts fear in you. And the reason why I keep establishing this before we go into the proper teaching is because what we're dealing with is conduct. So the reason why a man should live right is not because of fear, but because of love. You don't live right because you are scared. You know, we think God is a big elephant and you are an ant. And you'll be looking at ants. It doesn't even have shame. You're looking at ants, I give you, the cup is soon full. In Jamaica, strike him. That one to go, yes, sir. And you run, run. You cut your leg. Now tell you that God is teaching you a lesson with your accident. Put fear in you. The message of the gospel should reassure you of what you believe in. The message of the gospel should bring an assurance, in as much as it's correcting you, should bring an assurance to you. You should leave the church more assured of your salvation. It's a belief in the gospel once and forever, and you are saved once and forever. For God so loved the world that gives him grace, and whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. You know, give me John chapter. Let's see what John chapter 3 is saying. John chapter 3, verse 1. And a certain man, Nicodemus, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, yes. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? That means Nicodemus is wiser than a lot of people that are even in our generation. Because Nicodemus knows that the act of being born has left the responsibility from you. Responsibility of being born is not on you. That's why he says, Can he enter the second time into the womb? That should tell you he's wise enough to know that anything that has to do with being born has to do with an external factor. He said, Second time into the womb and be born. Next verse. Jesus answered, Very, very, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, which is a verse people use for water, what you bath people. Well, it's not wrong to bath. A man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. When he's saying born of water, can't you even see? You are people tell you that when you are born again, you need to do water baptism to show. But I thought water came before Spirit here. I thought water is before Spirit. Let's assume your doctrine is correct. Why didn't Jesus say, born of the Spirit and then water? But when you see water, it becomes water. You see, water can only mean water in the context of which it is used. So the example that I would give, I want to go and fix my car, is different from I want to go and fix my money in the bank. One is talking about deposit, one is talking about repair. So a man cannot be born of water and of the Spirit. He cannot enter the kingdom of God. Next verse. Some people also think it's about rapture. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Next verse. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. Now, go back to verse 5. You know we've established, what's the word there? And? Kahi, which is. So not every time the word and is talking about a conjunction of two different things. The word and can be used as a conjunction of two different things. Explanation. It could mean, I mean, even so, which is. So the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is not saying the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, one, and the love of God, you mix it together, two, and the fellowship of the Spirit. And you always say, and the sweet fellowship of the Spirit. So it's not saying there are three different things. It's saying one are the same thing. So the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, I mean the love of God, I mean the fellowship, the supply of the Spirit with you all. It's not something that should be with you every time after service. It is with you, moment you are a believer. So that same word, Kai, is the same word that means which is, I mean. So except a man be born of water, he cannot, I mean the Spirit. You know, when you see the word in bracket, it wasn't there in the initial manuscript. You know that already. When you read your Bible and you see a word in bracket or a word in italics, it wasn't there. So born of water, I mean the Spirit. So when he now went in the next few chapters, he said, of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. The verse explains it. He speak of the Spirit which will be given when he is glorified. He's not saying every believer you have well in you. So John used the word water as figurative to explain what? The Spirit. The moment you are born again, you are born of the Spirit and you've received the kingdom of God. When Matthew says, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and righteousness, and everything shall be added over you unto you. We see that what he was talking about, kingdom of God, is about what? The Holy Spirit that will be given upon resurrection. So Acts it shall be given unto you. Seek, you shall find. Knock, the door shall be opened unto you. You know, a father giveth good things. Remember, we've seen that, right? The good thing is the Holy Spirit, right? You know, so he's not saying that the good thing is going to give you his car. You know, if we can be, sometimes believers need to be truthful to themselves more than Bible study. Believer needs to be more truthful to himself more than buying new versions. So we see that. So in this same chapter, we see that he finished talking. Go to John 3:16, popular verse. For God so loved the world that he gave. For God in such a manner. So in such a manner, God loved the world. How did he show that he loved the world? What manner is that manner? The manner is that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Once you believe, you shall not perish. So now, that in him should not perish is what people consider as the wrath of God. We started this on Wednesday. So people are scared of the wrath of God. And we think that the meaning of the wrath of God is that there's a wrath God has in himself. But when we see Galatians chapter 5, we see that, go to Galatians 5 verse 16. This I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill what? Lust of the flesh. We've established what walk in the Spirit is. What is that? Walk in love, beautiful. Next verse. For the flesh lusted against spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Next verse. But if you are led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Next verse. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envying, murder, drunkenness, revelling, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Next verse. Now, we've seen that wrath is what? A fruit of the flesh. So if you are saying God has wrath, you are trying to say God is manifesting a fruit of the flesh. So if you are saying if God in and out of himself has that thing called wrath, you are so insane without knowing that God manifests a fruit of the flesh. And you forgot that you have made confessions before that God is a spirit. So that thing you called wrath, look at fruit of the Spirit. Now remember, the fruit of the Spirit is love. It's not saying the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. No, fruit of the Spirit is love. In love, we find joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness, and faith. All together. So it is in love. Love is the root. Love is the root, rather, of joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. Look at Colossians 3, verse 18. Colossians 3, verse 18. Why submit yourself unto your own husbands as it fits in the Lord? Yes, next verse. Colossians 3, 8. I'm sorry, I said 18. 3, 8. But now ye also put off all this. So, Paul is telling the church in Colossae that they should put off all these. And what are the these? Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Yes? So, Paul is saying, put away anger. Put away wrath. So, how will Paul, who is a minister of God, ask to put away anger and wrath that is in possession of God? So, if God has wrath and anger, why is he telling you to put wrath and anger away? So, you see, blasphemy, filthy communication. Go to Ephesians 4, verse 26. Be ye angry and sin not. Look at your neighbor and say, be ye angry. Be ye angry and sin not. Look at them and say, be ye angry and sin not. It sounds like a very interesting, it sounds like something that makes sense, right? So God will instruct that you should be angry, or Jesus will be saying you should be angry, but don't shall sin. But be angry. You are be angry. If people offend you, be angry. But make sure don't sin. Okay? Don't sin. But be angry. It's normal for man to be angry. It's your nature. You are sanguine. So we see that, go to verse 30. Remember, we're reading verse 26. Grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Verse 31. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you. We saw in Colossians 3, verse 8 that he said he should put anger away, right? Remember that? Now, Ephesians 4, verse 31, he's saying put anger away. How come he's saying put anger away, and the few verses before then, he's saying be angry? So he's saying, I permit you to be angry, but don't sin. You see that thing called anger? It has led people to where they should not go. Anger. So anger is something that we're instructed to put away. Why is Paul still saying be angry but don't sin? Go back to 26. We've examined that was a syntax error that was used there. A syntax error in the Bible interpretation. Be ye angry and sin not. That not that is after sin should be in between ye and angry. So it is be ye not angry and sin. So don't be angry, because there's a tendency that anger will lead you to sin. Remember Cain and Abel? Who was angry? What did he do? Go to 2 Samuel 13. I want us to read. It's going to be a long, but let's read together. Right? I'll just read. In this course of time, Amnon, son of... Okay, he's established here well, right? You see that? Amnon, the son of David, fell in love with Tamar, the beautiful sister of Absalom, son of David. Can you see that? Is it confusion? Can you see confusion? Amnon and Absalom, their siblings, they had a similar sibling, Tamar, which is their sister. But one of them fell in love with one of their sisters. So it didn't start today. And see what this costs, oh gracious Father. And it came to pass after this, that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister. Look at him and say, are you fair? Uh-huh. So we can see that the reason why fair is mentioned is because there's an attraction for fair. You know, there are some ladies that, there are some men that once you are fair, they are, go say kabaya. Look at this one. This one is hungry. Some ladies that once you are fair, there are some men that their weakness are fair ladies. Okay, let me use a better English because that fair now can mean too many things. I mean light-skinned. Team light skin. Those that snap picture. The sun is good to me. Take a portion of my beauty with the sun. And you put the camera on top. What you are showing us, we know what you are showing us. So you are showing us your curves. Say, is what you say is my face. You now add Bible verse. Grace follows those that believe. I was talking about something recently. Someone that something is doing is someone that says the reason why she knows God's love for him or for her, or a man that says the reason I know God loves me because he sent you to me. Ah, how can a fellow man that you're not even married say you are a proof of God's love to me? You don't want to accept the Spirit of God and Jesus alone. A man is a proof of God's love for you. What now happen when he break your eyes? Proof of God's hatred. You know, so there was a fair sister, and her name was what? Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, what? Loved her. Who is Amnon? A brother to Absalom. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister, Tamar. For she was a virgin, and Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. Look at the next verse. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, and the son of Shimeel, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. And he said unto him, why art thou being the king's son, lean from day to day? Wouldst thou not tell me? And Amnon said unto him, I love Tamar, my brother, Absalom's sister. Next verse. And Jonadab said unto him, lay thee down on thy bed and make thyself sick. Let's pretend. And when the father cometh to see you, say unto him, I pray thee. You see the use of word prayer? The word prayer doesn't always mean to pray. I wish for is what he's talking about. So a word has life in the context. He's not saying, go and pray to your father. Mm-mm. So he's saying, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come. I wish that my sister Tamar comes and gives me meat and dress the meat in my sight that I may see it and eat it at her hand. Oshay. So Amnon lay down and made himself sick. And when the king was come to see him, Amnon said unto the king, I pray thee, the same thing I was on. Next verse. Same thing they advised him. Then David sent home to Tamar, saying, go now to thy brother Amnon's house and dress him meat. So Tamar went to her brother's Amnon's house, and he was laid down, and she took flour and kneaded it and made cake in his sight and did bake the cake. Next verse. And she took a pan and blah, 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 blah. This is what she did. And they went out every man from him, beautiful. So he separated everybody away from him, and he was the only one in the room. Next verse. And Amnon said unto Tamar, bring the meat into the chamber, holies of holies, that I may eat of thy hand. And Tamar took the cake, which she had made, and brought them into the chamber to Amnon, her brother. And when she had brought them unto him to eat, he took hold of her and said unto her, come lie with me, my sister. Did it not even sound weird? And she answered him, nay, my brother, do not force me. For no such thing ought to be done in Israel. Do not doubt this folly. Next verse. And I, whither shall I cause my shame to go? And as for thee, thou shalt be as one of the fools of Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, speak unto the king, for he will not withhold me from thee. Next verse. Howbeit he would not hearken unto her voice, but being stronger than she forced, being stronger than she, forced her and laid with her. That's what you call rape today, right? So it didn't start today. You see that? Then Amnon hated her exceedingly, so that he hated wherewith he hated her. Look at verse 20. And Absalom, my brother, said unto her, Had Amnon thy brother been with thee? But hold now thy peace, my sister. He is thy brother. Regard not this thing. So Tamar remained desolate in her brother Absalom's house. That means what happened was that after Amnon raped her, she ran to Absalom's house. Right? Look at the next verse. But when King David heard all of these things, he was very wroth. Beautiful. And Absalom spake unto his brother Amnon, neither good nor bad, for Absalom hated Amnon because he had forced. Look at that word. So hatred came in. Right? He hated Amnon because he had forced his sister. He had forcefully taken whatever he did. Verse 23. And it came to pass after 2 full years that Absalom, look at that though, 2 years. 2 years. After 2 years, Absalom had sheep shearers in Balahazor, which is behind Ephraim, and Absalom invited all the king's son. So Absalom was planning something, but he invited all the king's son, which he knew that Amnon would be among them. See that. Next verse. And Absalom came to the king and said, Behold now, thy servant hath whatever, and declared the king, I beseech thee, and the servant, go with thy servants. And the king said unto Absalom, Nay, my son, let us not all now go, lest we be chargeable unto thee. And he pressed him, howbeit he would not go, but blessed him. Then Absalom, if not, I pray thee, let my brother Amnon go. Remember, this is 2 years after. Let my brother Amnon go with us. And the king said unto him, Why should he go with thee? Next verse. But Absalom pressed him that he let Amnon and the king's son go with him. 28. Now Absalom had commanded his servants, saying, Mark ye now when Amnon's heart is merry and with wine. That is, when Amnon is relaxed, when he's happy, when he's rejoicing, when he's tipsy. And where I say unto you, smite Amnon, then kill him. Fear not, I have commanded you, be courageous and be vigilant. That looks like an assurance from God. Be courageous and be vigilant. Be courageous and be valiant. Vigilant. What was I thinking? You know? So that looked like 11th commandment. Smite him and kill him. After 2 years, see what anger did. So what Absalom... What the problem with Absalom is like that he tolerated anger in his heart and he kept it for 2 years. So what the anger of a man can make him to do the unthinkable. So you cannot be admonished to be angry but don't sin, because your anger will lead you to sin. You know, some people, the moment they are angry, they begin to shake. And I begin to wonder, did that break somebody's head or break television? Or they break the table. That means the anger is eating so deep. So Paul cannot admonish you. Can you imagine? I admonish you, my brethren, do this, do that. And one of the admonitions I'm giving you is to be angry, but don't sin. No, it's a syntax error. Be ye not angry and sin. The truth is that people will get you angry. Go to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew 10, 16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep. Listen to this carefully. He says, Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as dove. Go back 3 verses before then. Go back to 11. Start 11. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses. Now, these are people that are going out for outreach, right? Look at the next verse. Nor scrip for your journey, neither 2 coats, neither 2 shoes, nor yet staves. For the workman is worthy of his meat. Next verse. And into whatsoever, now listen carefully, into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till there go there. So what he's saying is that when you go to a city for evangelism, for instance, go to a city for evangelism and ask whose house is worthy that you can live in. And when they tell you that this is a house you can live in, you abide there. And when you come into the house, salute it. Beautiful. Next verse. Salute them. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. And if it not be worthy, let your peace return to you. Next verse. And whosoever shall not receive you, now take note, he's talking about those that will not receive you now. Whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off your dust of your feet. He's not saying remove your shoe and tap it together. Shake off the dust of your feet. Next verse. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Context. I'm not going there today. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Right? Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as dove. Let's analyze this properly. How can you be a sheep and still have a clever nature of a serpent? A sheep is an animal that has a meek tendency. A sheep is an animal that goes on his own. Where instruction, where belief is. Right? So why would Jesus' instruction be, I send you forth as a sheep, be wise as serpent, and be harmless as dove? Can you actually be, can you successfully be as wise as serpent and be harmless as a dove? Can you successfully have those two natures? Remember, he said, when you go to a midst of people, people that reject you. He's talking about people that will reject you. Dust your feet, right? He's now saying, in the midst of these people, I'm sending you as a sheep. He's not saying when you get in the midst of these wolves, be wise, watch, let them not take your life, be wrong. Mm-mm. There's, you know, the same way we put that syntax error in, be angry and sin. So, sheep, among, if you take sheep, what characteristic is similar to that of a sheep between serpent and dove? What characteristic is similar to wolves between serpent and dove? So, you see, can you see, you can put, if you have a notebook, you can put sheep and doves one side, and put what? Wolves and serpents one side. Right? So, similarities are sheep, doves, serpents, wolves. So, that translation, see verse 17, will make you understand it better. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogue. Now, do you realize that it takes a cunning man to live in the midst of you as counsel, and is yet his assignment is to take you up? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? If you live in the midst of, it takes a wise man who is cunning, wise in the cunning way, to stand beside you, but yet his reason for standing beside you is to arrest you. You see that? So he's saying that beware of men who are the wolves I'm sending you as sheep in between. Does that make sense? I'm sending you as a sheep in the midst of wolves, and these wolves are men you should beware of, who they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. So, go back to the next verse. Previous verse. Verse 16 now means, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore harmless as dove. Or rather, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves, who are therefore wise as serpents. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Who are therefore wise as serpents, be you, because you are a sheep, be what? Harmless as dove. Did you get that? Read that verse again. I send ye forth as a sheep in the midst of wolves. Characteristics of serpents are not similar to that of sheep. So it cannot say you should be as wise as serpent and harmless as dove. The only attribute that is similar to that of a dove or a sheep is what? The dove. So you are to be as harmless as a dove, irrespective of the fact that men want to scourge you up and submit you to the council. Are we together? So you will be in the midst of people who would act in a wise way, and that wisdom is attributed to that of serpents, but you call them wolves as figure of speech. But you are sent as a sheep in the midst of wolves, who are the tendency to be as wise as serpents. You are to be harmless as dove. Is that clear? Very clear. Very clear. Very clear. Go to verse 18. And ye shall be brought before governors. So he's not saying be wise and run away. He's not saying be wise as happen and be cunning before they do like this, they have gone. No. It is that those people that want to take you up, they will act in a wise form, and that wisdom is similar to that of what's happened. But you, irrespective of everything, your disposition should be as what? Harmless as dove. So this from this now, we see that one of the conducts a believer should have is that his disposition, no matter the situation, is to be as harmless as a dove. So your boss doesn't scold you at work, for instance, and you begin to flare up. Look at 1 Corinthians 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 16. As free and not using your liberty for cloaks of maliciousness, but as servants of God. Now you see that there are certain tendencies and certain situations where you find yourself that you might think you want to be as wise as the serpent. But the instruction Jesus gave is to be what? As harmless as what? The dove. You see, I said something recently, which I saw the post recently. I said, showing love to mankind might or can cost a man his life, but we rejoice because we have eternal life. Showing love to your fellow, so your brother can hurt you so much, and it might cost you your life, but what you should rejoice about is what? You have eternal life. So there are certain dispositions you should have. See 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 12. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. So, see, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. What is Paul teaching here? You know, in few chapters from this, we see that Paul was admonishing the Corinthians about food offered to idols. Remember that? We've looked at that already. So food offered to idols, what did he say their solution should be? Because of weaker consciences, don't do certain things. So that's why I was saying their knowledge has puffed them up to the point that they are thinking that I can do anything irrespective of anything. 1 Peter 2 verse 16 already tells us that as concerning freedom, let love be the foundation of what you are using your freedom for. So all things might be lawful. All things might make sense. So there are some things that in and out of they say they are not wrong. But because you are a believer, you should not be found doing them. You know, we've established this over and over. As a believer, you should not be found doing them. Not because they are wrong. But because you are what? A believer. So the foundation, look at the next chapter, chapter 8. Start from verse 1. Now, as touching things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifies. So your concern, so what you should mix your knowledge with is what? So in as much as you are knowledgeable about something, what you should mix your knowledge with is what? Look at it there. What is charity? Love. So knowledge should not be your fundamental reason for doing certain things, but should be attached with what? Love. Because your knowledge can make you stand out and cause a weaker conscience to sin. We will see that now. Look at verse 2. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing as he ought to know. Next verse. But if any man love God, the same is known of God. Continue. And concerning therefore the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols. So you are talking about in your village they did Argungu fishing festival. Or they shall killed one sacrificial meat. To idols, right? We know that an idol is nothing in this world and that there is none other but God. There's no other God but one. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there are many gods, right? And lords many, yes? But to us, there is but one God. So we only know that there is one God. So that is the knowledge we have. If in as much as we know that other people believe in other gods, the Father of whom are all things, and we in him, one Lord Jesus Christ. Next verse 7. Howbeit, there is not every man that knows this knowledge. There is not in every man this knowledge. Not every man knows that your knowledge. A man still has a consciousness that there are several gods, and he's scared of himself, another God striking. But you know that there is only one God. Look at that. And for some with conscience of the idol unto this hour eat it as a thing offered unto idol. And their conscience being weak is defiled. So because they have a weak conscience, they are defiled because they saw you eat. You that you know. They saw you eat food offered to idols. Next verse. But meat commended us not to God. What's meat? For neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. So you have an option in certain situations to be indifferent. Eating doesn't make you better. Not eating doesn't make you better. But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours. Remember, we've established that word liberty is what? Knowledge. Because he was talking about knowledge. Knowledge. So take note that this, your knowledge of yours, become a stumbling block to them that are weak. So there are certain activities you cannot do, not because they are wrong, but because there are people that are watching you, and those your activities can serve as a stumbling block to those that have weak conscience. People want to know what the answer is, but they don't want to go through rigorous study. So that when pastor says yes or no, they will say it's pastor that said it. But the truth remains that there are questions in scriptures, from scriptures, that cannot be answered with a yes or no. The moment you attach a yes or no to them, you've added to what the Bible did not say. Right? So the moment they ask you, is it wrong to do this? They say, no, it's wrong. Or you say, yes. And you start defending your story. Which one did Jesus turn? Which one did Jesus turn from water? Which one did they take for communion? Which one did they take? You are just speaking English. But if we go through precept upon precept, what exactly is this about this? We realize that the reason why we don't do certain things is because don't let your knowledge say, I mean, there's nothing wrong. We know there is nothing wrong. Paul is addressing the Corinthians. They know. But that knowledge has puffed them up to have an arrogant form of feeling that they feel like I can do, nothing happens. But the truth remains that you're doing and nothing happened remains a stumbling block for another person. You know, you can only see where people will start. You don't know where they will end. You know, I will say that. You can only see where a man will start. You don't know where we end. If you're that brother that in your office, you have a room, for instance, where they used to rest, resting room, and there's bed. and everybody knows you. That used to always go into that room during the break. Same time. You and one particular lady, your break time is the same. As if they give people the same timetable. Your break time is the same. You're always there for 1 hour and the door is locked. Now the truth is that you might be preaching the gospel. Beautiful. Why are you laughing? You can't preach the glory. You can't preach the gospel somewhere in a room with the door locked. No distraction. You quote the Greek words well. Now, the truth is that you might actually be innocent, but nobody knows what's happening inside. Fortunately for you, maybe even as you just entered, you even sleep. In fact, it might even be so unfortunate that you entered first, she came and joined you later. She did not know you were there. But your break time is over together. You are not coming out together. And maybe you just even went to the toilet to use yourself and you're not adjusting your. In as much as you know, there is nothing wrong in staying in a room alone with a lady. Your knowledge can cause a stumbling block to someone that is weak. I saw them. Life, I saw them. Forget that guy. And tomorrow you come and say, let's do fellowship. I want us to use that 1 hour for fellowship. Let's fellowship. Your knowledge has become a stumbling block for a man who has weak conscience. You go to a party. You see, there are some things that you know you are not supposed to do, but because you don't want to be looked down upon, keep doing them. You don't want to say you are GJC. You don't know anything. You don't know what's happening. With all your friends know you are a believer, but they will not ask you, are you going to club or not? No. I mean, where do you go? I need to you because you don't want them. See, there are some adverts you cannot post as a believer. There's some, you know, people always, we always do that thing. And anything, my support your friend. Anything your friend is doing, you post it on your own time, they will post your own. If nobody posts your own, people will buy. If people don't buy, people will not buy. You are a believer. You are a worker in church. Your friend is doing party. You posted the flyer. Why didn't you add come and fellowship? And everybody knows you will not be there. That's why you say I don't post business for people. Because I don't just. Because one day somebody will, and you say we call ourselves friends. And what they'll be saying behind is, he doesn't know how to support his friend. But you are being wise by not falling for that trap. If your friend opened new club in the town, everybody knows you are an usher, you are a choir member, everybody knows you are a different, everybody, all your picture every Sunday, just do your eye like this, they're always snapping you. Every Sunday you are on the gospel last page. DJ, come and party all night with DJ, DJ Esquire and DJ Inkim. And you post, your church flyer is never on your page. See, people must know what you stand for before they come close to you. You cannot know me and not know I believe in eternal life. But by the time you are a lukewarm person, you are just there. You are just there. When they send to you, you upload. Your page has become a page for adverts. EY shows will do, you advertise. Gem Palace will do, you advertise. DJ Salisu will do, you put. You had that one too. We don't see church flyer on your flyer. No. We don't see advert of meetings. No. I'm indifferent. No, you can't. See, as a believer, you can't afford to be indifferent. So there are certain things that you can. So somebody will ask me, is there anything wrong in wearing clothes that my shoulders are open? The moment I say yes, no, and I begin to use scriptures to add it up, I'm going to sway away from what the Bible did not say. So at the end of the day, I want to use so much English to justify that point. But if you ask me, is there anything wrong in wearing this, I tell you, what is the love of God in your heart with your knowledge? What does it say? There's some, you know, there's some. It says it becomes a stumbling block for them that are weak. Look at verse 10. And through the knowledge shall the weak. You see, there's some pictures you cannot like. Just even remember this. There's some pictures you cannot like on Instagram. You know you can want to wear some clothes. You see the clothes, you double tap. Why are you double tapping? Can you imagine you go to Beyonce's page? And because I'm your very familiar friend, liked by Joshua Yusuf and 20,000 others. And what she's wearing is clothes that is like that. Yeah, she just did like this, and you should just, they just snap, and you just. You know, there's nothing wrong. You see a lady that is half naked, bra and pants, you are double tapping. Brother, what, even you ladies. You see, we live in a generation now where you think, it's in the beach. I have beach clothes. Even when you go to swimming pool, let love be your foundation for everything you do. It's not swimming pool. I have to wear swimming track. Is there anything wrong in wearing these things? No. Wear it in your house. It's the truth. Have you not asked yourself? You know, I usually give this example. Beyonce puts lit that rich here. When she was standing beside the princess and the prince, what did she do? She was running like this. And yet, some people still sew that cloth to church. They come out from the car, they spread the cloth to be following them, and they're walking. When you go for a neutral birthday party, what is wrong in dressing decently? Let love be your motive. If you've known me, anybody that's gone for a dinner with me throughout my school days, I vet your clothes before you sit beside me. You know that I vet your clothes. Maybe you want to sit beside me. I will vet your clothes. Got to a point, I started relating with some people's tailor. Started relating with their tailor. Why should you come and sit beside me? And the brother that is serving wine is pouring wine in the cup, but he's looking down. Why should a man have a view of your body from up? Is there anything wrong? So there are some styles that in of themselves, they are not wrong. Imagine mommy just dress up one day. And you just see mommy coming from the office. I just see mommy doing like this. Do. And what she's wearing is one very tight something. She now allowed the top to stop here. And I think, how are you, sir? How are you? I lifted. Why are you lifted too? Don't allow a weaker conscience to stumble. Let the love of Christ be a motivation factor for you. You know that if you are sincere with yourself, you know that there are certain things you can do without. And if you're also sincere with yourself, you know that you were deliberate when you wore some clothes. That the day you went to the tailor's shop, you had a plan for that cloth to bring it to an expected end. So, believer's conduct, how do you carry yourself? How do you do things in the midst of people? What you cannot wear to church, don't wear to party. To work, don't wear to wedding party. Reception. Some of them, they come and dance. Bride is the woman. bride is the woman. Yeah, bride and her friends, they come. And you come on. Our cameraman is following you. They are taking your picture. You allow the brother to stumble. You know the unfortunate thing? When men feed themselves with such things, the people that tend to receive it at the receiving end are not the people they fed from. That's why you see what you call rape. We know rape has started before time. But the truth is that somebody fed somebody's appetite, and if that person forcefully expressed his appetite on the wrong person. That's true. The moment you start saying parents should train their men, their men should be able to discipline themselves. How many times have you seen plantain and rejected it? You that like plantain. How many times have you seen plantain? You rejected plantain. That's plantain, no, that you can easily reject. And somebody is saying, men should control themselves. I can choose to dress anyhow. No, you cannot choose to dress anyhow you want. A believer. Do you know that? So when you begin to wear clothes, that when they say, just leave those hands and give God praise, and you just realize you are standing like this, give God praise. Another brother is standing like this. He's supposed to face like this, but he is standing giving God praise. But he's looking. Don't be a distraction. Don't be a stumbling block to your brother. Lift your hands and say, I'm a believer. I live as a believer. My actions do not serve as a stumbling block to others. I'm assured of my faith. I'm assured of my faith. I'm assured of my faith. I have eternal life. This is by believing in the work of Christ, which has been done once and for all. I live a life worthy of this vocation. Glory to God. You know, I had to caution my brother, my younger brother. You know, he likes modeling. You know, you see him, you just say, wear clothes, my modeling. Nobody's saying you should not like modeling. But there are certain clothes you cannot wear as modeling. Upon your whole shirt, you come down, you're doing it. We are not a bus conductor. And you just come to the front and just spread your leg. You know, he doesn't know how I saw some of his videos. He's doing well. You know, but there's something. So, my point is this. There's a picture of a guy, this popular guy in Big Brother Africa, that's modeling. What's his name? That does sports. His wife is a sport lady too. Whatever you call your name. I tested all of you. That was a mic. So, he posted a picture. And what was in the picture was Hennessy, was holding Hennessy or something like that, and he was holding Igbo. I saw my brother, Joshua, Yusuf, Joseph. Is it my own Joseph? I double tap. I called his attention straight to it. You don't like pictures anyhow. See, your liking on pictures is an approval of those pictures. Ask yourself a simple question. You know, people that watch pornography, for instance, right? Do they watch pornography and double tap? No, a simple question. It's a simple question. No, you go on a page. You go on a page and you see double tap. You see your name and then all your friends now will go there and 20,000 orders. Well, your name is leading 20,000. That means you have the ability. That means you have an ability to not double tap. That means not double tapping is a gift of the spirit. Yes. No. That means it's part of redemption, right? That means you can actually not double tap. That means you will not die if you don't double tap. Because you don't want your name to be associated with it. But you are your Instagram, everything. Yes, so we live a life that is considering other people's life out of love. Don't be the one to advertise when Hennessy is doing discounts. When Star is doing promo, it's on your page. Don't be that person. Let your words be edifying. If you don't know how to write, take your pastor's writing, screenshot it, and send it again. You don't have to force yourself to write. If you know you want to bless your TL, you trust the pastor, take it and screenshot. Let somebody be blessed. Not because you just want to update. See, so from scriptures, we see that we get assurance from the word of truth, and in that assurance, there's what? Correction. So we don't live a careless life. Not because certain things are wrong, not because anybody's going to punish you for them. You've been delivered from the wrath to come. There is no punishment on you or eternal damnation on you the moment you believe. It's a once and forever thing. But you should live a life to that life. Paul, finally, let's end Ephesians 4, verse 1. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. See Ephesians 2, 8 first. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith. Full stop. That's the end. And not of yourself. It is a gift. Look at the next verse. Not of work, lest any man should boast. Verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. His workmanship means that God is the workman. He has created you in a particular way unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. So there's a lifestyle that you walk in because of who you are. Next verse. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in flesh, who are called uncircumcised. You know, so we see that we are God's workmanship. Lift your hand and say, I'm God's workmanship. I live a life like God's workmanship. God calls me holy. God calls me pure. I live a holy life. I live a pure life. Now, let's end in Ephesians 4, verse 1. I, therefore, brethren, the prisoner of the Lord, I beseech you, therefore, to walk worthy according to the vocation. What walk worthy according to the vocation means is that if you have a BMW, maybe one of the latest series, you know what that is, you have a BMW that can run, that can take your speedometer of 320 kilometers per hour. Right? With a car that can run 320 km per hour from city gate, how many minutes will it take you to the airport? Depends on who is driving, right? Right? If it's me, how many minutes will it take me? Is it one? Is it one? I'm not that kind of driver. I don't mind it. Guys, we drive with caution. Say, man, you too. I mean, but you know, have you ever had a hard accident before? No, this is like 5th or 6th year. We drive with caution. That's me. The real essence of driving, I'm not going to motivation. Look at that one. You know, so now the point is this. A 320 km per hour car can take you to the airport in, actually, less than 5 minutes. Because I actually drove to the airport from City Gate in less than 7 minutes. Yeah, and with my Corolla. So yeah, 7. 7 minutes. And it was, let me see, it might shake you, but it was raining. That was dangerous, I know. Don't try it. It's not my intention. I made up my mind to do it that day. I already started falling. I can't change the day. It's the day the Lord has made. We had to do it that day. I couldn't change the day. You know, yeah, 7 minutes, 6 minutes, 50 seconds. I was at the gate of airport. At the gate where I pay ticket, 6 minutes, 50 seconds. No, well, I've grown. You know, this was about 2 years ago, 3 years ago. I can't try it again. I don't go more than 120 now. Okay, yeah, so that's not the point. But now, now the point is this. That car can take you there in 5 minutes. Let's say 5 minutes. Imagine you have that car and you miss your flight and you had 30 minutes before your flight and you still missed your flight. All that happened is that car did not leave according to the vocation in which it was created for. Are we together? So you missed your flight because your car did not live up to, you didn't use your car up to expectation. You are like that BMW that has a tendency to, so there's something expected from the person that buys a BMW. Yeah. That's what's expected of you from God. It's not after he does it, you now say, hey, chairman, big W. No, the BMW has already, it has his certification, it has his assurance, it has his, what do you call it, his future, it has his possibility. Please, amongst these numerous things you should not try, don't try that airport drone zone. Amongst numerous things you should not try.